Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
No longer wondering when or wondering how, but they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way, and by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha ha ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you. Mighty, mighty Lord. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Servant. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, Brother in Christ, Brother Elvie Chapada. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ready for another Bible study tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So exciting always to study God's Word together, brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise you, Lord, knowing that the coming of the Lord is closer every day that passes. Hallelujah. And there are days passing, and we know that it's close. Amen. So it's exciting, hallelujah, to praise the Lord, share his word, and see the closeness of the Lord coming in his word. Thank you, Jesus. We are in the time of the end, my brother and sister. And everything, I believe, hallelujah, in the Bible, my brothers and sisters, speak of the end. Hallelujah. There are several words for end in the Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the time of the end, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, it matters so much. Amen. 2 Samuel 20:18 said, then she spoke, saying, they were one to speak in olden time, saying, they should surely ask counsel of Abel. So they ended the matter. Hallelujah. Abel was righteous, and Cain killed him. And it killed him because he was righteous. Hallelujah. He was not he was in this world, but he was not of this world. And it bothered Cain, my brother and sister, that he was not. As the church right now bothers a lot of people. Okay? Because they can see that we're speaking, and what we're speaking is not their language. It's not what they want to hear or what they believe or what they're looking for. They're looking for science. They're looking for a future down here. And we know that our future is in the hand of God, and that we have to trust God, my brother and sister, with our lives. Hallelujah. Since we received Christ, we've been trusting him, and we know that we have to continue to trust the Lord only. Hallelujah. So that's why it says they need to go back to the counsel of Abel. They need to go back to the beginning, my brother and sister. Thank you, Gia. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's just so important, my brother and sister. 2 Chronicles 21:19, and it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his vow fell off by the reason of his sickness. So he died a grievous disease, and his people are not burning for him like the burning of his father. Hallelujah. These kings in Israel walked so wicked that diseases, sickness that they had never experienced before, they began to see after these people, these king, these leader began to walk after sickness, after wickedness and evil. They began to see this evil sickness, my brother and sister. And this is what's happening. COVID-19 is an evil sickness of the last days, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's what they're going to see, evil sickness coming their way if they don't repent, my brother and sister. But God had always told the things before they came to pass. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient time, from olden time. Hallelujah. The time that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Hallelujah. I will do all my pleasure. God is going to do his way. He's going to do his will. And no one can stop him. And what is unfolding day by day, my brother and sister, hallelujah, it's not good upon humanity. It's not going to get better without Christ. It's going to get worse, hallelujah, until Christ comes back. He's first going to take his people in the wrath of the departure, and then in the great tribulation, this total desolation, total judgment, and then the Lord comes and renews everything. He ends everything. He ends the seven-year great tribulation, my brother and sister. This is the way things are going to go about. Hallelujah. Brother Brian sent me an email yesterday about a dream he had of the 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister. He says that in his dream, hallelujah, the 3 days of darkness, it was about 4:48 in the morning, hallelujah, and mainly the dream, hallelujah, he was in cell with other people, and he was outside the house, like in a small apartment, hallelujah, and they could not go outside. In other words, they can see the darkness coming upon the land, and they knew right there was not safe anymore. The Lord's given me a dream similar. In my dream, my brother and sister, hallelujah, I was outside here up in the hill where people will usually go by to go to work, to go to school. And I was telling people, look at the cloud. Look at the formations in the sky, the red cloud, the red sky. Don't you see how red? Have you ever seen such a red over the heavens? And people was like, oh, you know, we got pictures online of places where there's been red heavens, red skies. I don't know what you're talking about, what you banned, someone says to me. And I said, listen, this formation that you're seeing of this red sky is a warning that God has given us of 3 days of darkness that are beginning tomorrow. And you need to get into your house now. I knew it was the day before. And I was telling everyone that was going by. I was even holding people by who stopped or who wanted to keep going. I said, listen to me, please. 3 days of darkness are beginning tomorrow. Look at the signs God has given him. Look at the heavens, how red they are. It's a clear sign that the 3 days of darkness are beginning tomorrow. You need to get into your house. You need to get into repentance in your house. And people kept walking and kept ignoring me and, oh, you're crazy. Where do you get your message from? And they were ignoring me. They were rejecting my message. And the dream, my brother and sister, I was like, wow, why am I warning these people? Why am I here to warn people? No one wants to listen. No one wants to hear what we have to say. Praise you, Lord. But God in obedience, us in obedience to him, wants us to be speaking still. Even though when people don't want to hear, people don't want to listen, my brother and sister, hallelujah, he still wants us to speak because he knows the heart of men. He knows who's going to listen and who's not going to listen, my brother and sister. And I was trying to get their attention, showing them the sky, showing them the cloud. And I was there for a while. No one listened. No one stopped. They kept going to school. They kept going to work. They would not listen to me. And I was like, oh, man. How can I get these people attention to listen? And the 3 days of darkness began next day, my brothers and sisters. And you know that whoever did not listen went about their life, the beasts are going to come out, the demons are going to turn into beasts, and they're going to devour them. The land will be cleansed from them, my brother and sister. But where do you think they're going to go without Christ? Hell. It's the only place for people to go without Christ. It is a fact, my brother and sister. Look at Sister Loma says from the Lord. Hallelujah. What would it take is the title of this word, June 6th. My children, you do not understand the gravity of what is coming unto your world. I have sent you warnings. Yes, you are not warned. I have sent you my word, yet you ignore the warning it contained. You refuse to believe. Well, welcome to joining us, those that are preaching the word, because this is exactly how I feel. This is exactly how everyone who's speaking from the Lord is feel. People are not listening. People are not taking heed to his message. Very few are repenting sincerely from all their heart, my brother and sister. And this is what God is seeing. Are they repenting from all their heart? Are they truly seeking me? Hallelujah. He's looking down to us. Let me keep reading. Most of you are not always prepared for what is to descend on your world because you have not believed. You will not be ready for the chaos that will issue. You will panic as you have not renewed your mind in my holy word as I instructed you. You will not know what to do. There you go. People will not know what to do. They will be running crazy. They will be running from the beast. Remember the Lord showed me a couple of weeks ago, my neighbors, my brother and sister, she was calling her husband when the beast entered her property, okay, in the 3 days of darkness. The Lord gave me the experience. And she was calling her husband, Joe, come and help me. She was trying to fight the beast. And the beast grabbed her, and it was tearing her arms apart, my brother and sister. And he tried with his brother to stop him. Mm-mm, they couldn't. It's impossible. Hallelujah. God is releasing them, and he knows what they're capable of. They only have 3 days to clean out the earth, not just the United States. They can move from nation to nation in second, and the spiritual realm to the physical realm, which they can go in and out easily. That's the permission that they would have. They can easily, hallelujah, clean out America and move to Spain in another few hours and clean out Spain, Mexico, Canada, all these countries of all the people that are not ready, that are not under protection of the Lord. And after 3 days of darkness, people can wake up and what happened with the people? Like the guy that in the revival the Lord sent me to preach to, and I was telling him, do you see what happened in the 3 days of darkness? He said, yeah. Well, you think that was fair from God to do that, to allow that? He says, to do that. And I said, God allowed it because of the wicked and sin. He says, but look, I have bodies of mine that disappear. Okay? That got killed. You think that was fair? Couldn't they have been saved? I'm like, listen, God's giving you an opportunity to be saved. He sent me to you to present you the plan of salvation. Oh, please don't bother me with that. Get away with that. I don't want to hear it. A God that will allow all these people to be killed that way. I'm like, you don't understand the sin that people were in. This is the fact of the matter, my brother and sister. People think that they're going to go on with their life, that life will continue being the same. They'll still conquer space. They go to other planets. That's over. Father looked at me with his reddish eyes and fire and says to me, my son, it's over for you. And the Lord Jesus looked at me and said the same. It's over. Father looked at me with his eyes on fire and said, it's over. Fire means sanctification, purification. My brother and sister, God has said it's over. And I invite anyone to go to God and ask him for a confirmation. God said it's over. And when he said it's over, it's over. It is over. He told me back in 2019, that it was over for the world to be the way it was before. And I came down and I shared it. End of 2019, before the year was over, we knew that life was not the same. It began in Wuhan, China, and continued from there, from country to country, this virus. He told me nothing known by man will cure this virus. And still, it is this way. They have no cure for COVID-19. Father told me they won't. They will not. It's only under his power, under his healing power of Christ, that he can move the virus from people when people pray. My brother and sister, but not many that have prayed has been able to save their families and friends. They have seen them die right before their eyes. There are church members across America and the world that have prayed for people who got COVID-19 and saw them going bye-bye. My brother and sister, young and old, children and of all ages. Not easy. Not easy. My brother and sister, we, hallelujah, under the power of God, have been surviving COVID-19. Why? Because COVID-19 did not give us life. Jesus Christ did. He cannot take our life away. Our life are in the hand of Jesus. And the moment you gave your life to Jesus, your life is in the hand of Jesus. COVID-19 did not take your life. Remember that. You gave your life to Jesus, and what COVID-19 is going to take away from you? Nothing. It can make you sick, go through pain and hurting, and that's it. But if you gave your life to Jesus, your life is in his hand. COVID-19 cannot take it away. Take care of yourself. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are in the hand of God. My brother and sister, no one can take our life. What will it take for you? What would it take for you to accept that you live in time at the end, and the end is fast approaching? Are you so blinded by your sin? Are you so blinded by the enemy deception that you have believed these lies? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There you go. That's it. That's the word. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. 3 days of darkness. Hallelujah. And they're approaching fast. Father said it is the end. I'm looking for the 3 days of darkness any day now. Because as people have seen and dream and vision from God, it's going, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, to happen fast. It's going to happen fast. It's going to happen. We try talking to our neighbor about the Lord. My brothers and sisters, they don't want to listen. They don't want to repent. They don't want to change their ways. This is the fact. They got vaccinated. They vaccinated the children. It's not them anymore. They don't want to listen. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, this is a complicated matter down here. More complicated than what people think. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. As I share with you, I saw Benny Hinn in hell. My brother and sister, his soul. And he tried to offer the demon money because he told that demon that he had a lot of money. And the demon said, listen to me, man. And all the demons in hell that was talking to the other people that were arriving in hell through the Bicene were quiet immediately. Everyone was quiet. This demon was large with great authority in hell. And said, listen to me. Your fortune, your money has no value here. While the demon was holding the soul of Benny Hinn, who took the Johnson & Johnson by sin. My brother and sister, he tried to offer him money. And the demon says, no, listen, your money is worthless here. Your riches that you had on earth is worthless here. Okay? Your God has given you to us. Many like him are down there. Many pastors and preachers that God warned for years to repent. Hallelujah. Their soul are in hell. What's in their body now is only a demon pretending to be them. And this is the part where it's harder for people. How many people watch him on TV and in Daystar? In 1999, I was watching Benny Hinn. And the Lord God spoke to me and said, he is a wolf in sheep clothing. In 1999, Jesus said this word to me. He is a wolf in sheep clothing. I was stunned because I used to love one of his books, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I believe it was a powerful book back then in the 90s. When the Lord spoke this to me, I was stunned. My brother, I didn't know how to speak about these things to anyone because it's shocking when God reveals something, someone that people love so much, The people love his ministry and the thousands of people he led to God. But the Bible said, what would a man gain if he wins the whole world and loses his soul? My brother and sister. And basically, that's what that is. Hallelujah. People are losing their soul for money. Hallelujah. And there's nothing, my brother and sister, hallelujah. What would a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My Lord, my God. What would it profit a man? What would a man gain? What would he profit? By leading millions to Christ and billions, and then him losing his soul. A lot of people are walking, and they don't know how they're walking. They're not looking to the Lord for their own soul to be saved. My brother and sister, seeing him in hell broke my heart. In a sense, because I was thinking, wow, he was such a great man on the earth. And when it took the Johnson & Johnson, look where he is now. My brother and sister. It's sad because he still has a lot of millions of followers. And they think it's him. The demon is doing a wicked job pretending to be him in his body. My brother and sister. Can you imagine in the world we're living, where a demon can be in a person's body imitating the real person and making million believe it is the person. This is a different world you and I are today. And God has done this because of the sin and wickedness. He's not going to take it anymore. The sins and wickedness of people, he is rebuking. This is why he's speaking through his prophet the way he's speaking. He is tired of, God is saying, enough is enough, sending prophet, messenger to these great men of God, a man that can win so many souls to repent, and then ignoring them, rejecting them, and so much more. My brother and sister, we're living in a different time. It's not easy anymore. Matthew 16:20 said, what if a man prophet be? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My brother and sister, what is valuable is enough that you can convince a demon in hell after your soul has been taken down to leave you alone? Nothing. Those demons got ordered to torment people and make their life miserable. We're living in a different time. People thought they can play with God. No. God will not be mocked, the word of God says. It's different. It is different time. The 3 days of darkness are so close. My brother and sister, I wish I should have left this topic of the 3 days of darkness weeks ago. I've been telling you. I wanted to move on with other topics. There's so many topics in the Bible we can talk about. But the Lord wants me to talk about the 3 days of darkness. He wants people to be aware and prepare for what is coming. My brother and sister. And it's going to caught people by surprise. This is what people have been seeing in dreams. 3 days of darkness is going to caught many by surprise because very few believe in the signs and warning. My brother and sister. Very few. The children of Israel, although they have multiplied, compared to the Egyptians, they were little. When God told them about the 3 days of darkness, they went and entered the home and stayed inside. Hallelujah. And the majority of millions of the Egyptians around them kept going about their daily lives. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. But how many perished in those 3 nights? So many of the Egyptians. The outcry was great. This is what's going to happen in America and around the world soon. And people will wonder why and how. God's going to cleanse this earth, whether people like it or not, whether they are ready or not. He is going to cleanse the earth, my brother and sister. He's going to do it. He is going to do it. And it's better that we know before the cleansing begins than us staying quiet And then all these people are perishing, and then that's why he allowed me to go talk to the man and the revival, and him saying that his friend, his name will perish in the 3 days of darkness. He said, what kind of God will do these things, he said. And I said to him, listen, many warning was given to them. They will not listen. They will not repent. But God has given you the opportunity to hear his message and repent and seek him. And he will not budge, my brothers and sisters. He will not agree. Hallelujah. He's totally disagreed. Ezekiel 35:5, because thou hast a perpetual hatred and hast shed blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of the calamity, and their time and in their iniquity has an end. My Lord, iniquity has an end, God is saying. For therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will prepare thee for blood, and the blood shall pursue thee, since thou hast not hated blood. Even blood shall pursue thee. Hallelujah. Thou wilt make Mount Seir more desolated and cut off from it him that passes out and him that returneth. I will fill his mountain with his slain men in thy hills and in thy valley, and all the rivers that shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolation. Thy city shall not return, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. God has said it, and God is going to do it. And he says, so that you know that I am the Lord, my Lord, my God. Because thou hast said, those two nations of these two countries shall be mine. I will possess it. Thought that the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thy anger and according to thy envy, where thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. I will make myself known among them. Then I have judged thee, when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that I have heard all thy blasphemy. Oh, my Lord. Everything that is being spoken on television, radio, and internet. Shalom, Brother Miguel. God had not ignored. God said, that you should know that I am the Lord, that I have heard all thy blasphemy, which thou hast spoken against the mountain of Israel, saying, hallelujah, that I lay desolated there, given unto us to consume. God hears of the blasphemy of the enemy, of the blasphemers, are those that like to blaspheme the name of the Lord in vain, which God, Bible say, he will not hold guiltless. Thou with thy mouth ye have boasted against me and have multiplied your word against me. I have heard them. There is a record for what they're saying and what they're doing. And this is why, hallelujah, they will be repaid for their evil. Thou sayest the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolated. Are thou there rejoicing and inheriting the house Israel? Because it was desolated, so will I do to thee that should be desolated, O Mount of Seir, and O Edom, and all of it. They should know that I am the Lord. Nation by nation that have mocked God will not escape when he bring his judgment upon them. My brother and sister, they will not escape. It was told to Daniel in Daniel 8:17. So it came near when I stood, and when it came, I was afraid. It fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, hallelujah, for the time of the end, show me the vision. Notice that it was for the time of you and I. It was not for the time of Daniel, all these visions that God gave to Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Daniel, my brother and sister. It was for us, our time. God knew that nation at the end of this time, when we prideful, when we full of blasphemer, when we full of people mocking God on television, radio, and internet, doing wickedness and refusing to repent. And God said, I heard what you said. I seen you. I heard you. Hallelujah. He's going to repay them. my brother and sister, my Lord, my God. And again, Daniel said, and it said, behold, I will make thee known what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for the time is appointed till the end should be. The indignation is a seven-year great tribulation. That's why I feel like I know this because the Lord showed me, when Russia will invade the United States, it will be for the great tribulation. Because the Lord showed me that when they would launch the missile, which I believe the invasion comes after, then the Lord showed me that he was taking us out before, the bride. That's when something, and when that happened, Jesus took me to heaven. Jesus was standing right there in front of me, showing me these things, and show us being taken before Russia launched their missile. So I'm like 100% because Jesus was right there with me, standing in front of me. I can see Jesus. I can see that huge screen from heaven. I can look down to the earth and see clearly what was happening. And before the missile hit the United States, the Lord got his bride out. And then after that, Russia will invade, China will invade, North Korea. And it's just going to be terrible. So what Sister Celestia described, American woman being taken, being abused and being taken for whatever they want to, it's going to happen and do it in the Great Tribulation right in the beginning. The country will be invaded. The country will be a slave. All the riches, Russia and China, will take it from this nation. Whatever is left, there's practically nothing left anyway. There's no gold. There's no silver. What is left? Printing out money without gold and silver, what else you have left? It's only paper and credit. If you do it dollar by the gold and silver, the country's broke. My brother, this is why Russia doesn't want U.S. dollar and China neither. Because they know the United States is broke. Because every time they require gold for the dollar they have, the United States cannot give them gold. They don't have none. What do they have? We got to be honest. We cannot keep speaking like, no, there's no gold here. There's no silver. This country's broke on credit and printed money. My brother and sister. But, again, it's all part of the judgment. It's all part of the judgment. My brother and sister. So it's coming. We know that. But God wants to take people home in the rapture before it does. That's what the Lord wants to do. Because he knows that whoever stays behind as a woman or man, they'll be captive. Just like Israel was taken captive to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, the army, the Chaldeans. They were taken captive, and they killed all the army of Israel. They took the princes captive. Hallelujah. And women and children. The children that went to Babylon for 70 years, as it was prophesied by Jeremiah, they came out later on. Listen to this. Listen to the priest Ezra, my brother and sister, in regard to what happened. Hallelujah. Ezra 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, hallelujah, might be fulfilled. The Lord stir up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made proclamation throughout all the kingdom, and he put also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdom of the earth. He has changed me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Hallelujah. Ezra was coming as one of the captives by the order of the king. He has found favor. God has given him favor before the king, and so the king was allowing him to go back to the ruins, as it was prophesied by Jeremiah, he says, who is among you and all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is Judah, build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. My brother and sister, this is a miracle of God. How can a king of Persia speak this way? Unless God has truly changed the heart of this man and has given Ezra, the high priest, great favor in order to go back to the ruins. Look what they're going back to, the ruins. That's the United States entering the Great Tribulation and ruins. The nuclear weapon of Russia is going to ruin this nation. And it's going to be ruins everywhere. So whatever will be left will be worthless. Be honest with you. I love this country. When I saw the destruction, I cry myself. I thank God for this country who opened the door for me and my family, my brother and sister. But what is coming is coming. There's no covering the sun with one finger. We got to speak the truth. Whosoever remain in any place where he journ, let the man in his place be helping him with the silver, with gold, and with the goods, and with the beasts beside the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. And rose up the chief of the father Judah, Benjamin, and all the priests and Levites, and all those whose spirit of God has raised to go out to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and all those who were about them stretched out their hand with the vessel of silver and gold, with goods, with beasts, with all the precious things beside all that were willing offering. So all the offering that is, when you offer the work of God, like they were doing here, has to be voluntarily, willingly. Okay? It has to be willingly. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So also Cyrus, the king, brought vessel of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his God. Look what the vessel of the house of God were put in the house of King Nebuchadnezzar, which is an abomination. And for this fact that he did, God judge, hallelujah, Babylon. That's why, my brother and sister, where the president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, tried to build Babylon, God destroyed the United States again. The United States was fulfilling a prophecy without knowing in 1992. My brother and sister, when they entered Iraq, when Iraq got attacked by President Bush, my brother and sister, and Iraq was destroyed, the city in Iraq was destroyed, a prophecy was being fulfilled that God was against Babylon for what they did back then to his people. How they took the vessel, the holy vessel of the temple of God, and took it to Babylon. My brother and sister, God, when it has to do with his enemy, he doesn't forget. He'll punish them. He said he will punish the house of Esau forever. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It's just a fact of the matter how the wicked is going to be punished. Even though the Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mesarea, treasure counted over to Shevasar, the price of Judah. And is the number then the 30 charges of gold, thousands of changers of silver, and 9 and 20 knives. And 30 vases of the gold for 110 silver. Remember the 9 was to kill the bull for the sacrifice, and which they did every year. And 10 silver vases, a second sword, the vessel, 8,000. And all the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. And all these Shevasar brought up were those of the captivity who were bought from Babylon to Jerusalem. And look how they did it, bought. That's why Jesus bought us at the cross. Because look how the children of Israel, his people, were sold. They were sold. And the enemy did it this way to proclaim ownership over their life. That's why when the statue were made, they would have to worship it. And only Daniel and the other three Jewish men did not, but the other people were made to worship them. Why? Because they were slave sold. Okay, King Nebuchadnezzar had an ownership over them. And that is the way to he buy them. He owned them, my brother and sister. They were his property. And he claims them as slaves. The different way when you take someone captive, when you throw people in jail and you hold a soldier for another nation, but that's a different than taking a slave like they used to. Because they will put a seal on the slave that slave belongs to you. And this is the way they did. So Christ, when he went to the cross, he went to buy their soul back, my brother and sister, with his own life. It was the only way that it could have been done, my brother and sister. So when they changed the Lord and they took him in prison and they beat him, at that very moment, then, okay, let's send them to the Romans. So in other words, let's give them into slavery. Okay, because that's why the leader of the Babylon said back then, why are you, he's not a Roman problem. This is one, if you read it careful and you understand the legal problem that was happening here, when it was brought to the king and he says, Caesar, he says, this is not a Roman problem. Take him to Pilate, not to me. This is not a Roman problem. It's one of your local, okay? And it happened the way it happened because then that would make, if he became a Roman problem, he became a slave. And becoming a slave, my brother and sister, because that's what the Roman did. They took slave in to make them work for them, okay? But if they knew that he did something wrong, then they will crucify him. So he ended up being crucified because that means that now he was in ownership of Rome. That's why they decided. So what do we do with him? So should we let go Belshazzar or let him go? Okay? So in other words, are we going to go let go a terrorist or let go this guy? The terrorist was captured because he had become a slave now. So since they wanted to judge him under the Jewish tradition, which a lot of people, this is the debate until this day. If the Roman was the one crucifying, whoever came under them, they owned that person as a slave. How is it that he was judged under the law? Because the law there, but they did it under both. Here's the thing. And the purpose was is, whoever is under the law but believe in Christ, Christ will set him free. And whoever is a slave under any type of sin, drug abuse, prostitute, drug abuse, becomes slave under those things. In order for them to be free, they need to receive Christ. And if they fast and cry out to the Lord, my brother and sister, they will be set free legally. Hallelujah. As a slave under the drugs. That's why that demon will have to let that person go. Even though the person can be there 30, 40, 50 years, the person under drugs, prostitution, and many other things. So the way Jesus died on the cross, he set free his own, and he set free every other soul of every single nation. Because every other soul, like the Africans, they were slave. In many other nations, the Indian, they were slave. So if any Indian believe in Christ now, after what he did, they are set free. Any African believe in God, after what they did, they are set free. Don't matter who, under who, because he died to fulfill the law and fulfill the slave ship law. Because that, you had the law under Moses, and then you got the law under Romans. These were two different laws. A lot of people only study the law under Moses, which is in the Bible. Okay, that's fine. But what about the law under the Romans? You see why he was taken to the different king to be judged, my brother and sister? Because you had two systems in the time of Christ. The Roman world with the Jewish people, hallelujah, in that time, controlling them. So they had to pay taxes to the Romans, and they had to pay taxes to the priest. That's why they were paying taxes to both, my brother and sister. So when Christ died, when Christ was arrested by the priest, then he was turned over to the Romans. So under the priest's law, he was being judged. Under Moses' law, he was being judged. Or under God's law, he was being judged. And he was also being judged under the Romans' law, which now makes everyone free. Because the Roman law applied to the Gentile. So he came to set free the Jewish, and he came also to set free the Gentile at the same time. Isn't that awesome, the mercy of God? That's why John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he has given his only begotten son, whosoever. Now, the word whosoever will not apply, because whosoever is anybody, whosoever is any nation, any language, any people, My brother, that's whosoever is, anyone. But if he was only judged by the law of Moses and killed under the law of Moses, then whosoever had no opportunity, the Gentile will have no opportunity. But because he was judged under the law of Moses and under the law of the Romans, international law, because the Roman law was international law, now he can save anyone from any nation and set anyone free from any nation. Isn't God awesome? My brothers and sisters, isn't God awesome how he can set anyone from any country, any nation, any language free? Hallelujah for what Jesus did on the cross. It's what he did on the cross that is so awesome. And many believers don't know this. They don't know this. They think it's only under the law, under the curse of the law. No. Under the Romans. That's why he was taken to the different king. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it was Pilate that said, okay, praise the Lord, that they will choose to be killed. Hallelujah. And they did. And the Roman crucified the Lord under the law of Moses. They had no chance to crucify him. Now, it has to be under the law of the Romans, which they did through crucifixion. The Romans people, a lot of people don't even know this, but the Romans was the only one that crucified, not the Jewish people. Not the Jewish people. The Jewish people had law where they would stone people. Okay? We know all this. Okay? They had law where they would stone people, but not crucify people. Okay? And so again, under the law, there's a verse that said, curses he that is killed on the wood, I believe it is. Let me see if I can, if someone can find it before me, please put it in the chat room. There's a curse declared under the law, my brother and sister, under the law. Let me see if I can, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Curse, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And it was told in Exodus 22:28, thou shalt not revile the judges, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Hallelujah. I want to find this verse because this will let you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. Okay, in Leviticus 24:14, bring forth him that hath cursed outside the camp, and let all the people hear him lay their hand upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. This is under the law. Okay? This is under the law. Okay? But this is not what they did to the Lord, and they try. They try to stone the Lord. But not the way God wants it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Because God wanted to cover the sins of all the earth. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And the way that, hallelujah, he will do it is by being crucified. It is the only way he will cover the sin of all the earth, because the law of Rome was the law of the land, of the earth. Anywhere you went, my brother and sister, hallelujah, it was the law. So it represented the law of all the nation. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. There's one that says, oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That is cursed for being not crucified, but hang on a tree, I believe it says. Thank you, Lord. If someone can find it first for me. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to find it because I know this verse will help people understand, hallelujah, the meaning of the curse, hallelujah, and what the Lord did on the cross that is so significant, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help me find it. Help me find the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, God Almighty. Praise you, Yeshua. I'll let someone else look for it now. Hallelujah. It says that cursed is he that is hanged on a tree. Not on the cross, but it says on the tree. So it, what it was saying is you cannot kill, you cannot crucify someone, in other words, this way under the law of Moses. And so it was done under the Romans. So he died for the Jewish because he was judged under them. Okay, Galatians 3:13. It's in the Old Testament, but it might be in the New One also, just because Paul must have quoted. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us, for the reason curses everyone who hang on a tree. Yes. But this is also in the Old Testament. Thank you for that. Yes, that's the one. But I wanted to find it in the Old Testament. Okay? So you know that Paul had repeated this from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. Okay, Brother Miguel. Let me see Brother Miguel once. Thank you, the Lord's servant, for that verse. Thank you. I'm glad we're all starting together. Because this is what it's about. Searching the Word of God together. Thank you, Lord. His body should not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shall any wise be bury him that day, for he is hanged on a curse of God, that thy land be defiled, which the Lord thy God has given unto thee for inheritance. There you go. Okay? So this was not allowed under their law. Okay? Thank you, Brother Miguel. And so this is why it was done both ways. And now, because it was in the land of Israel, the rabbi, because of this, has to be for the Sabbath, because it was done on a Friday. And Sabbath begins at 6 afternoon every Friday. That's when Sabbath began in Israel. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, and it's biblical. Okay? They have to bring them down. And they brought the Lord's body down from the cross, okay, to prepare him quickly and bring him to the tomb, which they also have to prepare the body, okay? So they have to be done before the Sabbath, my brother and sister, because, again, God said the land will be cursed. So they did this all quickly. But you see how he fulfills the law, and he fulfilled also. It was under the Roman law. So now he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the Roman law, international law, every country law, because Roman was over everything back then, my brother and sister, and gives anyone and everyone whosoever received the Lord as the Lord and Savior, my brother and sister, come to him, cry to him. Like he said, whoever comes to him, he doesn't turn them away. He receives them, and he sets them free. What an awesome God we serve. Shalom, Sister Treya. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Okay? Who is willing to set everyone free. He did this at the cross. He died. He was crucified. Hallelujah. Which the Jewish people were not supposed to do. Only the Romans did. My brother and sister. So he fulfilled the law of the Jewish people. In the law of international law, and anyone can come and be saved. My brother and sister. Now, let me keep reading Ezra, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because Ezra come from Persia. Ezra come to, hallelujah, to the ruins of Jerusalem that was prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet. My brother and sister. And he comes with a letter from the king, hallelujah, to restore the house of God. Now these are the children of the providence that came out of the captivity, who has been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, everyone unto his city. Notice that God always is faithful to keep a remnant. But notice how God is going to keep his own. He's going to keep us home. All these that you see that we're taking captive here, my brother and sister, again, he kills their parents, killed his parents, and women and children when taken captive to Babylon. These children now are adults because it was 70 years that Jeremiah said they will be captive. It was revealed to Daniel. Okay? So now they were captive for 70 years. Now they're adults, the adult men and women. And now Ezra says now, the leader, that they're being taken out now. They're coming out of captivity now into the land. Who came with Jerusalem, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Serviah, Mordecai, Versa, Mespar, Revi, Rahun, Vana, the number of the men are the people of Israel. And the children of Paran, 2,122. There you go, the children. And again, verse 4, the children of Serviah. Verse 5, the children of Revi. You see that it was all the children that came out of the land, out of Babylon. God has to eliminate all the adults, allow all them to be removed, killed, because they were the disobedient parents that did not listen. When Jeremiah, God told them what was coming, it was because he was the son of a priest. He should have been respected once. They should have listened to the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah. But since they refused to listen to the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah, then all that generation, stubborn generation, were all killed by the army of the Chaldeans. My brother insisted, and only a remnant. You're going to hear later, Sister Celestial, that there was a child of the USA in China who this child was saying left after China invaded the United States and the children were taken to China. There is a place already have ready for the children of the U.S. taken captive to China. And the child said, where is our parents? Where is our people? In English. And the boys came and said that they were no more. You'll hear word by word. I heard it and I was like, wow. Because again, only the children God will spare of this nation when Russia and China invade this nation. All these stiff-necked generation that are not listening, that are refusing to repent, they're not even getting ready for 3 days of darkness. And then those that God will give them a second chance after the bride he sends out in the revival, after the 3 days of darkness, if they don't repent again, he's going to take it level to level. That's why when you read Revelation, God's going to take with this nation and the world level by level. He will judge Colombia and Venezuela differently. Colombia has suffered because of drugs years ago. And God has spoken a judgment and promise. There's been judgment and promise. But Venezuela has been judged differently than Colombia. But Colombia is in a better place than Venezuela. An example. My brother and sister. But you see how even that evil president of Venezuela is still there. They have not been able to remove him. He's still holding the people captive and taking their money and all that. If you think about for a second, billions of dollars in oil goes into Venezuela every month from the different nations. If they give $1 million to each citizen in Venezuela, they will all be millionaire, and it will still be enough money for them to run their government and everything else. He is not willing to give those people a penny out of those billion. Not one penny. They're dying in hunger. He don't care. My brother and sister. Also, the Bible says that the heavens are steel, but there's no blessing. There's only a group of evil, weak, satanic people holding the blessing of the people. Until God says so. That's the punishment of sin and disobedience. My brother and sister. But now when God judges the earth, he's going to judge every nation according to what he has said through his prophet to each nation. Okay? As he has sent them over the years, my brother and sister, and give the word to the nations, if they refuse to repent, my brother and sister, God will judge them. accordingly to the word he has given them. And then he'll remember the word that are not fulfilled yet, and he'll fulfill the word of judgment. If he has spoken, hallelujah, a blessing for him to fulfill and bless our nation, he'll bless them. My brother and sister, he'll remove the wicked and place the righteous and place the government in different positions. But to this nation that has known God for so long, that have refused to repent and see God, is different now. God is taking a different approach to this nation, which a lot of people don't like. A lot of Christians don't like the approach that God is speaking that is coming. And to every nation, he will judge them differently. But he will judge them with righteousness, holiness and righteousness for sure. He will judge them. My brother and sister, I even heard God is going to give Cuba a chance because of being suffering for so long. They're going to get more chance than the United States and other nations. Cuba, my brother and sister, because they have truly suffered. But it's when God sent his prophet back in early time before Fidel Castro, they did not listen. He told them that if they not repent back then of the witchcraft and sorcery and the things they had begun to do that was entering into Cuba from the different place, from Haiti and other place, it was entering Cuba, and God sent men and women to warn them not to allow this wickedness and sin. If they did, they will end up being captive for many years. You know that Fidel Castro coming into office was prophesied in Cuba before Fidel, when Fidel Castro was a young man. God was speaking to his prophet in Cuba when Cuba was free and there was abundance in Cuba. God was speaking to them when they were allowing black magic and sorcery and a bunch of garbage into Cuba, that they will be captive for many years and be punished. Hallelujah. And that they will have a president that will rule them harshly with no mercy. My brother and sister. And Fidel Castro coming into office and now his brother in office was prophesied. And it happened exactly for over 30 years that Fidel Castro had abused the people. My brother and sister. And what it is everything that the people are supposed to have, they take it and they use it. My brother and sister, and people lack food, clothing, and so much. My brother and sister, they live. But again, he told them this would happen before when they were free, when they were enjoying Cuba and they were traveling the world. And, you know, Cuba was beautiful. But he told them beforehand. And to every single nation, he sends a prophet and speak to them of what would come to them if they don't repent on certain wickedness and evil that they have begun to do. It's not something that they always has done. It's something that they enters into the land. The government, the leader, the people allows it, welcomes it, and don't repent. My brother and sister, don't repent when God calls them out and say, hey, this sins that you allow, you need to get it out, or I will allow judgment to come into your land. Judgment will come for this wickedness. And then they have to repent and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. We, you know, and they have to clean it out, my brother and sister. They have to clean it out. They just have to. You know that back in the Dominican Republic, they tried to bring satanic churches into the island. And the president that was there, that was put in there by God, said no, he will not allow it. And he was backed up by the majority of people, said no, they were not allowed it, my brother and sister. And when they allowed it, when the next president came and they allowed it, my brother and sister, it began after great prosperity was coming up on the island, my brother and sister, and so many church and prosperity and companies and great job, great insurance and things like that, and people began to be prosperous. God brought the prosperity into the island. The devil, when they allow an opening for him, brings to ruin. He brought satanic church into the capital, my brothers and sisters. And the Christians were like, oh, no. Praying for mercy unto God. And then certain hurricane came in, my brothers and sisters, and destroyed a part of the island, my brothers and sisters. There was another part of the island with the witches and all that. A young lady, this was on the internet, she told the people, the witches and warlocks that were gathering together,
God said they have blasphemed God, his name, first on television. And God has said to this young lady, this nine that they were going to meet together and proclaim and declare curses and stuff like that, that same nine, they will perish. There was a landslide, a mountain, came up top of them, my brother and sister. They came under 30 and 40 feet of land over them, and they all got killed that same night. My brother and sister, God said, I will not allow this wicked in this land. Because people began to pray, churches gathered together, thousands of people began to cry out to God, please, God, have mercy. We don't want this evil on the island. We don't want this wicked. And God said, this nine will they perish, and they will be no more. And when some, their body will not be found. My brother and sister, they have hundreds of them, over 300 of them, gathered that night. They only got the body out of them of a few dead already. The other body of the people, the authority brought in their machine, heavy machinery to try to get the body out. No, they don't know what happened. The body disappeared. God has said they would not find the body of those, of the leader that were there, the blaspheme. That was video recorded on YouTube that they blasphemed. Their body was not found. And the authority took the bulldozer there, and they were removing the soil, moving everything, trying to find them. They couldn't. God is not a man that he will lie. Now, the Son of Man, he will repent. He said they will not find their body. They have not found it until this day. How can, you know, mountain fall upon them like and kill them, and then they will not be able to find the body of the leader that were there? And the fact is that they were there because they were televising this. My brother and sister, it's horrible. But they perish. God will not be mocked. When people cry out to God, when people pray, and they gather by thousands together, God will fight for his people. And God will say, as he told through the prophet Isaiah to King Zedekiah back then, that he was going to return the king of Babylon back then unto his land, and he was going to die, not by his hand, by the hand of his own son. And that's exactly what happened. My brother and sister, we're living in the end time. Okay, his word is being fulfilled. The children of Aaron, 700, children of Parava, children of Yeshua, the children of Alam. And then you go down the line in Ezra 2, and you see all that came out of Babylon, they were the children. The adult have perished already. My brother and sister, God will not be mocked. Hallelujah. And when the 7 months, chapter 3, how come the children of Israel were in the city, and the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Notice the unity of the people. My brother and sister, they said there's power in unity. Notice, hallelujah, with this such a unity, Shalom, Sister Renee, hallelujah, they were so powerful now under the hand of God. Hallelujah, that nothing could stop them. Imagine God touched the king's heart to give Ezra, the priest, letter for him to go back and restore the house of God. By restoring the house of God, the whole palace needed to be restored. Because King Babylon, destroyed the whole palace. Jerusalem was in ruin, was desolated. Jeremiah had prophesied this before it happened, years before it happens. My brother and sister, Jeremiah did not see the children of Israel come up from Babylon, because it took 70 years. But the word of Jeremiah the prophet came to pass 100%. My brother and sister, God has spoken. Verse 2, and it stood up Joshua, the son of Hasadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Ruzavael, the son of Shealtiel, and the brethren built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offering thereon, and it was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set up an altar upon the vase, for fear was upon them because of the people of those country. And they offered burnt offering thereof unto the Lord, even burnt offering morning, evening. Notice their commitment to the Lord. This is what God wanted to from their parents that perished before they perished. God called them to repent, to turn back to him. My brother and sister, to stop their wicked ways, Because a lot of them have idols in their house of other gods. And Jeremiah called them out. The king have idol in the palace. God called them out to repent these wicked men, destroy their idols. But instead of repenting, they got mad at Jeremiah. Oh, this man. Hallelujah. They just wanted him to be quiet. Shut up. This is not the way when God is calling you to repent for your act. My brother and sister, that is defilement. Defile the Lord. They, my brother and sister, acted in wickedness, the Bible says. That's a wickedness behavior. That's not a pride and wickedness. Person is falling in evil. God is calling them to repent, and they refuse. My brother and sister, at that moment when they refused to listen to the word of Jeremiah, they immediately were set for destruction because the word came from God. My brother and sister, and they all perished. Only their children went cast into Babylon by the mercy of God, who always has faith to believe a remnant from Israel. My brother and sister. And now they're coming out, and God is using the priest Ezra. And they kept also the Feast of the Tabernacle that is written and offered in the daily burnt offering and the number according to the custom as the duty of every day required. And afterward, offer continuous offering. Notice that what they're doing here is what the prophet Jeremiah called the King Zedekiah later on to do. If they will return back to the way of the Lord, repent of all the wickedness and evil that they were practicing, and go back to doing this, God would have pardoned them. God would have mercy on them. My brother and sister, in the word that God has declared, God would have repented of the judgment he declared. He would have repented of, and they would have been restored. And Israel would have been prospered. And God would have stopped King Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And there will be, God has done it in the past. The history of the king of Babylon, when he had gone with his great army against Israel in the past, when they been right with God, they had no chance. But now, even in the future, America, who's been raised by God, who God is telling them, if you don't repent and turn back to him, he will raise the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. And they will, again, he had used in the past the Chaldeans, the Russians, to destroy other nations as a tool of vengeance. Now, on the last day, he will do the same. That's why President Putin can go on television and threaten America with nuclear weapons. He is confident of what he can do. America don't know the capability of Russia yet. And the Lord showed me the ship over the Pentagon the other day. The Lord opened my eyes in the spirit and took me there. And I saw this Russian ship over the Pentagon flying there undetected by U.S. radar. They didn't even know it was there. Reading all the intelligence, all the communication the U.S. is having, they were recording it. They were listening to all of it there. And they flew off. And this nation had no idea that there was a Russian ship coming in and out of here, undetected by a radar. Our radars are useless against them. My brothers and sisters, then the Lord given me a vision of all the ship they have and all the technology that this country have no idea they have, that they can bring against a nation and destroy it any day, put and feel like it. But it's all under God's control. It is God who says when, not President Putin. It's the Lord. The Lord reminded me of this. He says he's in control, not Russia or anybody else. He decides when. This is why we're waiting. This is why you and I are waiting when God's going to bring the judgment. How and through. My brother and sister, Russia being friends with China, of course they're going to give them secret. My brother and sister, and how to come against the nation also in the future. So this nation has no chance until they return to God. My brother and sister, but God has been calling them to return, but they are not listening. They have ignored his calling. Whoever God raises for years to warn this nation, he has. They have not listened. COVID-19 entered as a surprise to many. It has taken many away as a surprise, and people wonder how. God warned them it was coming, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Now, this is how they're supposed to behave. Afterward, offer continued burnt offering. Both the new moon and all the set feasts of the Lord were consecrated. Notice when you hear the word consecration, holiness, they understood, the children, my brother and sister, these children were captive in Babylon. They had little knowledge of the law of God, of God's commandment. Now that they're returning back to God, I want you to see how they behave. How do they know to come to God righteously? My brother and sister, they understand that in order to be right with God, you have to walk in holiness, in righteousness. These are children, children, whose parents have been killed before they got a chance to know them. My brother and sister, now as they all have returned to God, as God is setting them free from Babylon, these children that have grown without their parents in Babylon, who have seen all the wickedness and evil of Babylon, as they come to God now to serve God, they know that the only way to approach God and serve God's right is through holiness and righteousness. My brother and sister, you talk to people today about holiness and righteousness, they get offended. You talk to churches about holiness and righteousness in America and around the world now, man, you be careful if the pastor don't punch you or slap you right there in front of everyone. What are you talking about? Get out of here. We must welcome gates into our ministry. We must love them as everybody else and marry them and support our young women who want to have an abortion, they say. How dare you say that we should not do this? Who do you think you are? It's an abomination what is being practiced in churches today. My brother and sister, supporting abortion, supporting the young lady with abortion. If they feel like they cannot have that child, it's okay. Who are you to judge them? If a young man wants to marry another, why should you not marry them? They even dare to say that that's the way they're born. This is the way God made them. What an abomination it is. My brother and sister, after they offer continued burnt offering, both of the new moon and other set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and everyone who were willing to offer free will offering unto the Lord, they were not even, they didn't have no one here. Listen, if you don't do this, I'll beat you. Like King Nebuchadnezzar did to your parents. No. These young men was doing these things willingly. Willingly. Out of their own heart. My brother and sister. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord were not yet laid. The temple was not even finished. But that didn't stop them to bring offering unto the Lord. They were so grateful for him to bring them out of Babylon now unto their own land, the land of Israel, the land of the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the world. They gave money also unto the mason, unto the carpenter, meat and drink and oil unto those of Siddim, and to the Tyre to bring cedar tree from the Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had from Cyrus, from Persia. Now the second year of the coming of the house of God in Jerusalem, the second man began Jerusalem, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Hasadak, and the remnant of the brethren, and the priests of the Levi, and all those who had come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, they appointed Levi from the 20 years old upward to press forward the work of the house of God. Look at the commitment of these young men, of these men and women of God. Hallelujah. Look how they are pressed unto God. How grateful they are for his mercy upon their life. My brother and sister, oh my Lord, they stood Joshua, his son, his brethren, Camiel, and his son, the son of Judah, together to supervise the workmen in the house of God. And the son house not there, their sons and their brethren and the Levites, not only were they paying for the word and bringing everything unto the house of God voluntarily, they were supervising everything that was being done for the house of God to make sure it was being done according to the commandment of God, which God gave through his servant Moses. My brother and sister, this was not like, oh, make it however you feel like it. No. It needs to be done. Hallelujah. How God has given them their commandment through Moses, his servant. So they were supervising it. And when the builder laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest, which this is how God gave to back in Exodus to Moses to set Aaron and his son as the priest of the house of God. And they appeared with trumpets, and the Levi and the son of Asaph with cymbal to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, the king of Israel. Notice how they keep going back to the writing, and they keep setting up the house of God in order. It was set up through Moses, hallelujah, and Aaron and his son and the father and his sons, the priests. And then when David came, he sets the music of the house of God, and they're following all these instructions because God was the one who put that in the heart of David, and they knew that needed to be in the house of God, and so they were making sure that everything was being sent in the house of God accordingly to how God led his great man of God, David, the king. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When you want to serve God wholeheartedly in holiness and righteousness, you need to open up your Bible for Genesis. And you need to keep reading. And you're going to get from Genesis, you're going to go into Exodus. You want to learn about holiness and righteousness, read Exodus. Read the book of Exodus. When God set the priest, hallelujah, Exodus 28, 29, and 30 tells you how when God told Moses about setting the priest of the house of the Lord, Bible and says, set Aaron and his sons as priests, how holy and righteous was the setting, the garment alone, how they would not be among the people with those garments in which they will have to minister before the Lord in the house of the Lord, because you had in the house of God the holy place and the holy of holy, and they were divided by a curtain, my brother and sister. The priests that were in training were in the place of holy. In the place of holy, they understood how they needed to behave and live for the Lord. Because if they were not living according to the commandment of the Lord, they would die. My brother and sister. But listen to this. The holy priest had a bigger obligation, my brother and sister, because his death came instantly when he entered the Holy of Holy if he was not righteous before the Lord. If he was not living the life that God called him to live, the priestly life was a life, holiness means separated, separation, separated from sin, separated from gossip, from evil, from anything that the rest of the people even practice, the community, the town, the city. You don't do what they do. You don't practice what they do. You don't, and so your whole life is, it's the priest has their own place where they live apart from the people. My brother and sister, their inheritance was the Lord. And they had to live so righteous and pure for the Lord. Because every priest that was there, son of priest, was to be priest someday, the high priest that will go into the Holy of Holy. And if he did not live holy and righteous, he will be killed instantly. They will put bell under clothing, under garment, and a rope also, that when they would kill, in order to get them out of the Holy of Holy, they would have to be pulled by the rope. My brother and sister, they had no chance. My brother and sister, and God is the God of a second chance. That's why God warned them before they went in. They will have to know within themselves whether they were ready or not. My brother and sister, Hallelujah. They were known because they had the Holy Spirit. God put a spirit on them. My brother and sister, as the spirit was on Moses, it was on the leader also to perform the work of the house of God. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. The oil coming up on Aaron, which is Psalm, let me go to Psalm. Hallelujah. I remember this Psalm for so long. Psalm 133. My brother and sister, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Hallelujah. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron, the beard that went down to the skirt of the garment. My brother and sister, when this happened over the priest Aaron, the high priest, that was the oil represented the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. When Moses anointed Aaron, the high priest, right there, hallelujah, oil physically, which signified the Holy Spirit, the presence of God over their lives. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of the presence of God. My brother and sister, the Holy Spirit in our life is the one who guides us, who lead us to all truth. That truth is how to serve God, to please him. My brother and sister, Aaron, at every moment, every second, like the bride of Christ, of any moment, any second, who is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, knows how to serve God's will. We know at the moment we sin that we have sinned, because the Holy Spirit who's in us is there to let us know instantly. My brother and sister, instantly, he lets us know in your mind, in your thought, in your, whatever you do, the Holy Spirit, you're like, why? Because you are bright. My brother and sister, the other day, hallelujah, I put on something online, and it was so wicked that the Lord spoke to me and said, remember that you are part of the bride to come home. Hallelujah, separate immediately, my brother and sister. He reminded me right away, the bride of Christ has been separated to come home to heaven. Hallelujah, like coming to the Holy of Holies, to be in with God. The Holy Spirit is in our life, that any single wickedness, no matter how small it is, anything, any type of sin, it is for us to repent it right away. If you turn the channel and there's something there on your television, you immediately change it or turn it off. My brother and sister, we don't have a regular channel in my house of television. I don't want my children contaminated by television. We're trying to live for the Lord. Hallelujah. As he's called us to live. My brother, separated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't like to go to the mall. If I have to go near the mall, it's maybe once a year. That's how separated the Lord has us. My brother and sister, for any type of sin or anything, hallelujah, on my computer, I have firewall. I have protection from anything that may come in there that has any type of sin. Hallelujah. I usually keep 2 firewall on my computer. My brother, not just 1, 2. Right, to make sure nothing can come on my computer that may have anything that is not of God, my brother and sister, because everything online is contaminated, and we need to be careful. God has called us to be separated unto him. Hallelujah. Lately, he's been reminding me, you know how I like to watch news, my brother and sister, and anything that has to do with stocks or anything on the news that is not of God, no. No, he's been correcting me. No, not that. You don't watch that. Neither. Any single thing that he knows is not pleasing unto him of the world, no. No. My brother and sister, no. Even secular movie, he will convict me. Right? No, you don't watch that. No. It has to be Christian. My brother and sister, it has to be for God. I like to watch Highway for Heaven. And we have gone back and watch it again, Touched by an Angel. It's a good program, my brother and sister. And now that app that is just for Christian, forget the name now, just for Christian movie. We have to do our best every single day to be separated, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Yes, sister, I said the Lord calls the children to come unto him. Hallelujah. Because the children, God, we've seen in the Bible, he starts over with the children. When the parents are turned into wickedness and he has called them to repentance and they have refused, God has allowed them to be eliminated, removed. He'll remove them and begins with the children. He done that with Israel. He did it with the parents that when he led the nation of Israel to Egypt captive, all the elders die on the way. None of them made it to the promised land, except Moses and Caleb and Joshua. They made it. They were the one repenting. The rest of the elders like them, they all perished on the way. My brother and sister, they did not make it. I was also meditating when God told Moses to speak to the rock, but he hit the rock. My brother and sister, and God was so angry and said, you didn't glorify me before the people. You will not enter the promised land, God says to him. I was meditating on that because that is to leaders. Everything to we leaders of God that God has put into the ministry, we need to be careful how we behave before God's people. Because everything we do has to be to glorify God. And the moment we do something that is not for his glory, that's what happened to Moses. You did not glorify me before the people. God says to Moses, you will not enter the promised land. Okay? We have to be careful. It has to be for the glory of God. A lot of people look for being famed, being known, and, you know, no. It's not for that. It's for the glory of God that we do ministry, my brother and sister. And we cannot forget that. And the Lord brought that to mind. Remember what happened to Moses? Hallelujah. We need to be careful, my brother and sister. So again, all they send together by courses, praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good and for his mercy endure forever toward Israel, and all the people shouted with great shout. And when they praised the Lord because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, but when many priests, Levi and chief and father, who were elder men who been the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before the eyes, kept with loud voice, and many shouted with a loud joy, so the people could not discern the noise, the shout, the joy of the voice, of the weeping of the people, for they shouted with loud voice, and the noise was heard far off. They knew. They understood. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. They knew that they understood, and that's how they went before God, to restoring the house of God. Now, you take that for ourselves, and if we're restoring our life before God, how do we go about? We need to understand that the foundation, holiness and righteousness, and that we, if we have left our first love, as Jesus says to the church, that is most dangerous, because a lot of people have done this, my brother and sister. They were walking in the first love, and now, hallelujah, they're not. They are not, my brothers and sisters. And the Lord warned, hallelujah. He says, I know thy work, that thou either no cold nor hot. I would that thou be cold or hot. But because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. See? Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters. And because thou say I'm rich, which is when someone say I'm rich, that is a sign of pride immediately. Hallelujah. I increase with good and have no need of nothing. That's pride. Now, and knowest that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Without God, my brother and sister, hallelujah. This person, hallelujah. In the spirit, this is exactly how it is. If you're walking right with God in righteousness, you will have beautiful garments in the spirit. OK, Okay, you can, when you repent your sin, ask the Lord to cleanse all your booking, keeping, and record, okay, of sin and disobedience. Also ask the Lord to cleanse your garment in the spirit. Ask the Lord, Lord, please cleanse my garment with your blood and watch what happened. It's so awesome. I love to do that. Okay? He'll cleanse your garment with his blood. And do it every day after you repent your sin before him. My brother and sister. Now, here's the thing. This Christian was fallen. He was lukewarm, but he was very wealthy. My brother and sister, all day, because it was many, it was a whole congregation. So it was a wealthy congregation. Literally, they have a lot of money. And this is the case here in the United States and many other nations. They got very wealthy congregation. But what about spiritual? Hallelujah. The Lord said that they, hallelujah, were naked. My brother and sister, and truly miserable. Because the joy that we have is the joy of the Holy Spirit in life, the joy of the Lord. David said, gives us strength. They didn't even have that, and they didn't even care. My brother and sister, they didn't even care. They didn't have the joy. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in their life. And they were naked. Without the Holy Spirit, without the covering of the Lord, you're naked. That's what the Lord says to them. Poor, blind, and naked. No vision. No vision at all. If they're blind, they have no vision. If they're naked, they have no garment. So in this condition, they could not be going to heaven. Even though they knew the Lord and had confessed the Lord, they were backsliding. My brother and sister, it is a terrible position to be in as a Christian. Hallelujah. But God is merciful, my brother and sister. And he was calling them to repentance. I counsel thee to buy gold from me, try in the fire. Hallelujah. This is how we get back right with God. Hallelujah. We turn back to the Lord. We repent our sin and trespasses. And we seek the will of God. Lord, what have you had me do? And the Lord will tell you what to do. Hallelujah, with your life, where he wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Very, very important that we take this serious for our own life. The thou may be rich, hallelujah, with white raiment. The thou may be clothed, because that's what the Lord will do, with clothes of righteousness. And that the shame of thy nakedness may not appear. And I know in the eye what I saw that thou may see. Hallelujah. Notice how the anointing comes. Hallelujah. Which is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life when we repent, my brother and sister. When we turn to Christ wholeheartedly, when we sincerely repent our sin. Because a lot of people are questioning, Brother Ovi, I know you're talking about this. And I done that. How come I don't feel that? Sincerely repent. There is a repent that you can do out of your lips, but it doesn't go according to your heart. That's what the Bible says. If your heart rebukes you, greater is God. If you're not repenting with all your heart, it's not sincere. God wants us to do sincere repent. When there is a sincere repent, there's a sincere change, power of God that will come in your life. When you repent, the blood of Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And there is a change. There is a cleansing that God will put you through in the process. And when he put you through that cleansing, there comes a transformation. But you lay down everything at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of the cross, when you repent. And you don't seek your will anymore. You seek the will of God for your life. A lot of people don't remember that cleansing. Because they had done it years ago, and they've been backsliding. Turn back to the Lord with all your heart, sincere repentance. Cry out to him. Say, Lord, I've been backsliding. I've been lukewarm, Lord. Not like at first, and watch what happens. Begin to repent. Your sin and trespasses. Get back to your first love. First love is Christ first, kingdom first, my brother and sister. Him first in your life. You don't go out of your house without repenting. You don't go to bed without repenting, without being spending time with the Lord. That's first love. He is first. Not I'm tired going to sleep. No, I didn't have time to pray today. That's a lukewarm behavior. When people go about their life and everything they want is first, but not Christ. That's lukewarm. So many people like that. My brother says, that's wrong. That's a lukewarm life right there. And God don't want us to have that life. Christ needs to be first. When Christ is first and judgment comes, if you perish in the judgment, if you die, if your body is destroyed, your soul goes to heaven in peace. Angels will be right there together with the angels that God has set in your life. And they'll take you home. Come, let's go home. And you'll go home in peace and joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You'll see your body there, right there. But you, yourself, your soul, which is you, the spirit, will be full of joy with God, rejoicing, Father, and coming home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am telling you, praise you, Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. My brother and sister, anything we go through this life is nothing compared to God, to what God has for us in store. When you go to heaven, you'll need nothing. Everything you may need, which you don't need. Your clothing God will give it to you for free. Hallelujah. And you don't need to eat, and you don't need to drink, you don't need to go to the bathroom in heaven. You could eat if you want. Hallelujah. You're never hungry, you're never thirsty. You thirst no more, Jesus said. You hunger no more if you eat of his bread, which is his life. If you drink of his water, hallelujah. You thirst no more. You hunger no more. He's giving you the full package. You come under God's, hallelujah, social security system. You're secured by God forever. Hallelujah. And you take care by him forever. You'll never have any need of anything. And in the moment you thought of something that you think you need, they're knocking on your door. Father, send this to you. Hallelujah. You don't need anything. Hallelujah. Plus the heavens are planted billions of times and more bigger than our earth. Full of things you cannot even imagine. Cannot even imagine how big heaven is. And the things that your Father will give to you, to them that love him. The thing he has prepared for them that love him, the Bible says. You have no idea. And that cannot come to mind. Hallelujah. Cannot come to your understanding. When you get there, you say, how little that I knew. How little that I understand when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. Earth is so small. It's just so small. And we see our earth and our planet, and we think it's so big. When you get to heaven, you'll see big. You'll understand big. You'll know big, and you'll say, wow, how little. Hallelujah. Are we the Lord? Have mercy on us. Exactly. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be serious, therefore, and repent. That's it. That's Jesus speaking right there, Revelation 3:19. Be serious and repent. Repenting is always the ultimate opportunity for us to get right with God. Hallelujah. For Jesus did everything on the cross. It's our turn now to turn to him and repent. Praise the Lord. The door is Christ open, fully open for you and I. When you repent, when you turn to God wholeheartedly, he's there waiting for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I remember when the Lord revealed me this. Hallelujah. He was telling me to fast and pray years ago, I remember. It was the Lord and I remember. He had not sent me to do ministry yet. And I wanted to, but he said no, that I must wait on him. You must wait on me, my son. I want you to stay at home, seek me with all your heart, repent and fast. Fast and repent. Watch and pray. Okay, Lord. And I began to do that. My brother and sister, he wanted to show me things I didn't know, which was this word, himself to me. He wanted to reveal himself to me, things that you don't learn from the pulpit, from anyone from the pulpit. It has to come from the Lord, a rabbi. As he had me repent, as he had me seek him, one day he came to me. I said, Lord, he revealed himself to me. Lord, he began to take me to heavens. Hallelujah. And one day after he had me repent, it was like through believing the word and believing his promise, boom, he brought me before him. There it was. Through what he said, that he will bring me closer by repenting and seeking holiness and righteousness and just being separated from all type of sin. He didn't want me watching television, doing anything by praying, reading his word, and seeking him. Constantly every day. But I would not do anything else by seeking, praying fast. My brother and sister. And I said, yes, Lord. As long as I can meet Jesus, as long as he bring me before him, amen, I was willing to do anything, including die doing it. I didn't care for my life. I really given him my life. I just wanted him to bring me before him. And I began to fast. I told my wife I will be fasting and praying. Hallelujah. And it was every day, then every week, continuously. Praise the Lord. Until he brought me before him and began to do these mighty things that will shock me. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I remember when he took me to the places in the first heaven, first planet, my brother and sister, where people come from the earth and they take them into the cleansing center. And people are being cleansed there. They're being revealed, the things on earth, gossiping and things that people, Christian, do that is such an abomination. And through that gossiping, demons take hold of their tongues, demons that they don't see. Gossiping is a demon that many Christians don't know. Hallelujah. And the Lord began to show me how he dislikes gossiping among Christians. And fornication is another demon. Adultery is another demon behind the sin. That in the moment you practice a sin, you open the door wide open for the demon to come into your life and possess your life. And that's why women and men who have committed adultery, when the demon come in them, they get 100% desire to continue to do it. And they feel like they cannot be set free from this demon in their lives because they already opened the door. They feel like they need to continue to do it, and they feel hopeless in the hand of this demon of adultery and fornication. And they'll continue to do it, my brother and sister, because they open the door to the demon. Hallelujah. And in there, when they are saved by grace and they come into heaven, right there, the Lord, the redeeming, the angel. I saw redeemed talking to some of the people that came from the earth that had died one way or another and just came to the earth that were Christian. And these things began them to explain to them of these things they practice on the earth that is displeasing to the Lord, sinful. And that now they need cleansing from them, this cleansing center. And how painful it can be when they be uncleansed by that. The only thing is they are told that in earth, if you repent this sin, the Lord can cleanse this thing from your life, can set you free. He came to set the captive free. Who the Son set free, it is free indeed, the word of God says. And these things are explained to them there. Now we have to cleanse us for your life now, for you to move on with God. If you want to go to the third level, second planet, before you can go there are people that will be 20,000 years in that first level before they get to the second planet. And then the third planet where Father is. Jesus got his throne in the first planet, second planet, and third planet. Father is with the Lord and his throne in the third heaven, third level, the holy of holy, like in the holy tabernacle that God ordered Moses to make for the people. In the same way, you got the holy of holy, and you have the outer score of it, which is the first planet, and the holy of holy is the second planet. And the holy place is the second planet, and the holy of holy. It's the third planet. That's where Father dwells, inside. That's why when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he was not ready and prepared, Father killed him. No one can play with Father. He is merciful like nobody, but he will not be mocked. And they will go in there with any type of sin, a repentant sin, immediately they will kill in the tabernacle. That's why they are not allowing that third level, third planet, where Father is, to come with anything. They have to be cleansed in the first level, move on to the second. In the second, it was not explained to me all the things they do to the people. But I noticed in the second, because I saw this, people were walking and sharing the word constantly all the time, speaking the word of God to one another, like the priest would do to the high priest in the holy place before he entered the Holy of Holies. They would take the Torah, the Bible, the word of God, and begin to quote it to the high priest. One priest in one year, the other one in the second year, and the other one with the tablet in front of the priest, where he will look to the tablet, which signifies the 12 tribes of Israel, which the city of God that is made, it is made with the 12, like the 12 apostles, open all day long and all night long, the city that God made, the Holy of Holies. So the high priest, everything that was being put through his left ear, right ear, and eyes was holy, righteousness of the word. Preach. And word, and quoting the word, and quoting the word, and quoting the word, and quoting the word in Hebrew to the high priest. And right there, if he knew, because the word convicted you of sin, if he had anything, I'm sorry, God, for this thing. I'm sorry for speaking this word. I'm sorry for seeing this thing. And he would have to be in repenting, counseling, before he went one time a year to make the sacrifice for the people. And if he, again, forgot something, did not confess one sin and one day, Father, no one mess with Father. I've been saying this for years on the Lord's Hour. No one mess with Father. Oh, he doesn't take nonsense. He doesn't take sin. He had nothing to do with sin. He dwell in holy three times. My brother and sister. And that's the way he has set heaven, three planets. You come into the first. If you're not ready, if the things that need to be cleansed out of your life, and you are in the testing center, being tested, like if you were being tested on earth, and in whatever test you didn't pass on earth, given to you by Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, into your life. If you didn't pass those tests, you got to go into the testing center to pass those tests. The only thing I noticed in heaven is I was taken to the testing center to be a minister of some of these tests that I was having time to pass on the earth. And the Lord let me know. Hallelujah. One day I was taken after the Lord had put me through much cleansing, which it was very painful. When I will come back to my body on earth, I will be on my knees crying, my brother and sister. And I remember one of the last time I was taken in there. I recognized the place right away. In front of me was standing Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. They both greeted me. The Holy Spirit always has a smile. Oh, he has a beautiful smile. He was there with Jesus. They greeted me. Hallelujah. And he revealed me things there that I was shocked. Hallelujah. He says to me years ago, hallelujah, I sent people into your life. Well, there were many people that came into your life, but not all of them were mine. Brothers and sisters, he says. Huh? Pardon? As we say down here. I was like, pardon me? And he began to show me from heaven. A lot of them were of the devil. And I was... Can you imagine this? If I was not in heaven, I probably would have a heart attack. There's no heart attack in heaven. It's just a joke. My brothers and sisters, there's no heart attack. Remember Larry says to Father, Father was speaking to Larry, really mad at the people who were not repenting. He said, Father, calm down. You may have a heart attack. Father said, my son, I am God. I cannot have a heart attack. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, he began to show me. Those that he sent and the other one that the devil sent in the flesh, but in the spirit they were demons. Huh? I didn't learn this from the Pope. I didn't learn from any leader from the Pope. I learned it from Jesus himself in heaven. When you get there on the right, you ask him. Ask the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see, I was so shocked. I didn't know how to explain this to the people. It took me a while because I wrestled with the revelation myself. What in the world is this? You got demon in the flesh down here? How did this go about when he revealed me how everything goes about, how they are, and how is it that it can be? Well, it begins in Genesis. Eve will have her seed, and the serpent will have her seed. Well, the word seed is the word that comes from children, descendants. My brother and sister, Eve will have her children descending of her, and the serpent, the devil, will have his children descending of him. Where would the devil find a woman that will have his children? My brother and sister, hallelujah. We know that Eve have Adam, even though they were both fallen afterwards. So it's logical for Eve to have children with Adam. But who's the wife of serpent, the wife of Satan, that will have children on the earth with him? My Lord, my God. It began in Genesis. And it continued that way, all the way to the end, until the Lord said yes, until it is a mess today. That, oh, when you get to heaven, ask the Lord to give you more. I had a brother who was taken to heaven last night. He was saying that if you have family, when you go to heaven in the rapture, if you have family who did not got saved and died, let's say in the Great Tribulation or in the judgment, the memory of them, God will erase them from you. You won't remember them, he says. But if you have family who will be saved, who will come to heaven, you will have clear memory of them, my brother and sister. I didn't know that there are family on earth, in heaven, that can pray for you. And their prayer, the Lord revealed this to me last week. My wife had an aunt who went to be in with the Lord a few years ago. I met her. She was one of the sweetest Christians I ever met, woman of God. Loving, oh, incredible, anointed woman of God. She went home to be in with the Lord. The other day, her sister-in-law was backsliding, said that she was in her kitchen in the presence of God, as she began to worship God and read God's Bible, came all over her. My brother and sister. And my wife and I were like, how can that be? But again, we can't judge anyone. God would have mercy on who he will have mercy. The thing is that then talking to the Lord knew what we were talking about. And the Lord then revealed to me, her aunt is praying for her in heaven. And her prayer to me is precious, Jesus says to me. Her prayer, like on earth, cannot be hindered by the enemy. And her prayer comes to me directly to my throne, and they are precious. And she's interceding for her, my brother and sister. That's why that presence of God came so strong over her, my brother and sister. And she was led to open the Bible and read it. She was reading the Bible, and the presence of God got so strong over her. She said over the phone, my brother and sister. Her aunt, who the Lord Jesus said her prayer cannot be hindered, is praying for her. That means she's a soul to be saved. My brother and sister, God mercy. Hallelujah. We don't comprehend this mystery. If the Lord had not spoken these things to me, I will not be able to tell you about this. So anointed, the way he said it. And I told my spiritual eyes, I can see what the Lord was saying. Because when he speaks to me, he gives me the vision right away of what is happening, my brother and sister. And I can see in the spirit her prayer being so powerful before the Lord. And the Lord says to me, her prayer cannot be hindered like an herb by the enemy. They come directly to my throne. They're precious to me. Hallelujah. Can you imagine someone in heaven praying? Hallelujah for their family. That is, wow. You can go to heaven and pray for your family who stay behind, who ask to be in safe. My brother and sister, I believe if their name is in the book of the Lamb, when you go to heaven, hallelujah, and they are to be in safe, you can pray for them. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. I share that my brother Milton, a few months ago when I was taken to heaven, we were in heaven. And he says, will you come to me to visit my daughter on earth? Now, I was in the spirit in heaven with him. And he says, will you come to me? I'm like, okay. And we started coming down in the spirit to earth. We arrive in earth in second. And I can see here the United States. We were up in Massachusetts. He said, I'll take you to my daughter's house. And he led me. Let me tell you, I haven't been to where she moved now, physically. In the spirit, we went to her house. He said, my daughter lives there. That's her address, he says to me. He's praying for his daughter. My brother and sister, her name is Suleika. Keep her in prayer, please. Sister Carla, brother, had a car accident. He's in the hospital. My brother and sister, he's been in coma for a few days now. And he needs to get right with the Lord. We're praying for him to give him an opportunity to come out of the coma, confess the Lord or get right with the Lord, and then be taken home. I want to ask each and one of you listening to please help us to pray for Sister Carla, brother, my brother and sister. We believe God can give him an opportunity right where he is for him to, hallelujah, get right with God. I believe his kidneys are failing. Sister Carla was concerned. She contacted me. I said, sister, I'm praying for him day and night. I want to ask each and one of you to please include him in your prayer. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Let me see if I can see his name in hallelujah, in my phone. Thank you, Lord. But it's important that we pray for him. Hallelujah. Because we know that the Lord can, hallelujah, raise him back up again, either heal him to restore him back to his family. George is a brother. Hallelujah. Yeah, his kidney, hallelujah, and liver, hallelujah, they're not functioning. Hallelujah. The doctor, Sister Carla, in the last test I got from her, about her brother George. Please keep her brother George in prayer. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Brother Benjamin, also keep him in prayer. Hallelujah. He believed he got COVID-19. It's been 14 days now. He's getting better, but let's pray that the Lord will completely restore his health in Jesus' name by the stripe of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord George, we send your word over his body that he will be given the chance to restore his life, Lord, with you in Jesus' name. I also send my brother Benjamin the word of healing and restoration in Jesus' name over his body, that by his stripe, by his wound, he is healed. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. When we send the word, it never returned back, boy. We send the word of a Sister Carla, George, by his stripe, by his wound, he is healed. We're giving a chance, hallelujah, of salvation and restoration in Jesus' name. Yeshua and Joshua's name. We send that word over his body. We give it a chance to be restored. In Jesus' name, praise you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, we pray for your daughter to be for restoration, Lanny, of COVID-19. Lord, we send your word, hallelujah, of our sister Consuelo daughter, Lanny, Lord, that she will completely be restored her body from COVID-19. We send the word that her body will be healed, restored completely in Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Joshua name, by the stripe of Jesus. That word never returned back, boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, my Lord. I can feel the effect of the word of God all over me. Hallelujah. Lord, this is an appointed time. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anyone in your family need the word to be sent over their body, to be restored, being healed in Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus, by the wound of Jesus, we are healed. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't return back, boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else, any family, yourself, whoever it is, we'll send the word. We'll just send the word. God send the word over the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they will all heal. All heal. Word, the word returned back 100%, healing all the people, the children, everyone, my brother and sister. We can do the same, the bride of Christ. Send the word over their body. Yes, Lord, so our sister Renee, we send your word that by your stripe, by your womb, she is healed 100%. In Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Jehoshua name, we send your word over her body, over her life, to be healed completely, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, healed completely. Let that word now return back, boy. Sis Amber, we send the word over Amber, that by the stripe, by the wound of Jesus, hallelujah, she'll be healed in Jesus' name. She'll restore to salvation. Restore to salvation. We send the word of salvation that will not return back, boy, in Jesus' name, Yeshua name, Jehoshua name, that she'll be saved in Jesus' name. That word doesn't return back, boy. It's been sent. Wait for it now. Wait for it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wait for it. We send it by faith, believing in the Lord. Doesn't return back, boy. He sent his word. Read it in Psalm. Sends the word. I sent my word of healing over my people. It came back. They were all healed. Completely healed. Hallelujah. That's how God operates. By faith. Send the word. They were all healed. We got to do the same, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Like Christ, the mind of Christ, we got to send the word out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And doesn't return back, boy. It does what it was sent to do. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And that healing begins in that person. That word cannot return back until it's 100% healed. That's how you said 100% in Jesus' name. Healed by the stripe, by the word. Hallelujah. And it does the work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to go to heaven now than waiting around to see the judgment, because I'm telling you, it will get worse later on. There'll be a lot of pain and headache. It's what the Lord has said through his prophet tonight, the word that I read, Sister Linda Lomas, my brother and sister, what a powerful word it is. Just for those that were before I play Sister Celestial, for those that did not hear the word, let me go ahead and read it so you see how a powerful word. My children, you do not understand the gravity of what is coming unto your world. I have sent you warnings, yet you are not warned. I have sent you my word, yet you ignore the warning it contained. You refuse to believe. Most of you are in no way prepared to what is to descend on your world, because you have not believed. You will not be ready in the chaos that is ensue, hallelujah. And you will panic as you have not renewed your mind in my holy word. As I entrust to you, you will not know what to do. What would it take for you? What would it take for you to accept that your life in this time of the end and the end is fast approaching? You are so blind by your sin. You are so blind by the enemy deception that you have you have believed his lies. This is the fact of many lives today. Many people that are not getting ready for the return of Jesus, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, if you've been told that you have strong curses in your life, it might be true. Take it into fasting and prayer. Take it into fasting and claim what Jesus did on the cross. He broke all curses on the cross. In Jesus' name, he'll set you free. He came to break the curse of the law on the cross and to set the captive free. And begin to fast and pray. I brought this teaching years ago here in the Lord Tower. There were several people that did this, family, and they were set free. They were healed. They were full of the power of God and so much more, my brother and sister. It was so amazing that many of our healing service we did here on the Lord Tower, there were people from Germany and other countries that were baptized in the Holy Spirit in tongue, my brother and sister. Even afterward, they listened to the program afterward. Someone that listened to the program like 2 or 3 years after got baptized in tongue as they went back and listened. She thought we did the program yesterday, and when she sent me the link, it was like 3 years before. I said, sister, I got baptized. I thought it was like recently you did the program. I said, no. My brother and sister, the power of God has no limitation and no time. I rejoice when she told me this. She got baptized for the first time in tongue. My brother and sister, God doesn't change. That's why I tell people, when we do this, you got to open your heart. You cannot come. This is why fasting, when you come in fasting, you come with an expectation of something that God's going to do in your life. You open your heart for it, and you're waiting, you're hungry for it. He does it. Thank you, Lord. Don't expect any service to be the same. You have to open your heart, and then the Lord does it. For his glory, or glory be unto him. And then people will rejoice and see that with God all things are possible, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. So let's continue to commit our life to the Lord. Seek the Lord's holiness and righteousness, fasting and prayer. If you're having trouble with anything of the world, stay away from the internet and television in your house. Some of you may need to cut your cable. We done it years ago. We don't have no cable in our house to watch television. And they offer it to me with the package of the internet that we do the Lord Tower. No, no. We keep saying no. My brother and sister, no. No. We want to watch what is of God. Most of the time, it's what we need to do when you watch something. Keep yourself for the Lord, my brother and sister. Understand the timing we're living in, how God wants us separated, and we need to do it. And then commit yourself in prayer to the Lord and fasting. That cannot change. A lot of people have changed the fasting. They stop praying. And then what happened? Chaos in their spiritual life. They're all confused. They don't know what to do, my brother and sister. And it's for the same reason that they, hallelujah, has changed their ways before the Lord, changed their lives, hallelujah. They don't fast as they used to.
Thank you, Jesus.
They don't fast as they used to, my brother and sister, hallelujah. And that's wrong. That is totally wrong. You have to, like, sister, read Isaiah 58, the fasting of the Lord. And pray about it, okay? And look up every verses from the Old to the New Testament of our curses. And read Deuteronomy 28 in regard to the curse. You got the blessing, and then verse 15 and on, the curses, Deuteronomy 28. And see what the difference is. The curses came under the disobedience, and they could have came from your generation, like your mother, your father. So then you have to take responsibility, repent them, and break them in Jesus' name through fasting and praying, my brother and sister. Okay, a lot of people think that confessing is enough. No, you have to fast and pray. That's serious commitment. I didn't understand the meaning of fasting until the Lord let me know that when you fast, you mean business. You're serious, my brother and sister. He wants us to mean business when we say something. A lot of people say things they don't mean. Well, when your word goes with your action, you are serious. It's what the Lord means. You're serious about it. You're truly repenting. When you say, I'm going to do this, and you do it, you mean business. You're serious. And that's what the Lord is looking for us. Hallelujah. That means you, when you do it, when you say it and you do it, you are committed to the Lord. But when you say it and you don't do it, you're not committed. You're just saying it. And you can be the nicest, but then you don't mean what you're saying. Amen? So here's Sister Celestia.
Say, nothing that you champion, nothing that you stand for, and nothing that you vigorously fight for in public reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Or even if there is an enclave among you that practices wickedness, and you do not adhere to the truth of the Lord's word to root out that wickedness from among you and cast it aside so that the entirety of the congregation, not really a church congregation, but meaning the group of people presented before the Lord as a nation, so that the entirety of the congregation can be purged, purified, and cleansed, then it is a false Christianity that you are practicing. You are following what Apostle Paul called another Jesus. You are not really known in heaven as a nation that does righteousness. And so because God is not one to hide his true feelings or stand behind a false wall where he keeps on dealing with a nation as if it followed him, when in truth it doesn't, the reason that the prophecies on this particular space are what they are is because the Lord God has something to say to all the nations of the world who look up to America. He has something to say to America herself. And these are the things that I am bringing. One thing I'd like to point out for you to get the best use of the blog is this is a support channel for the blog, meaning that this is where I'm reading out the prophecies to create a video library for the over 300 prophecies that are on the website, The Master's Voice. You can find everything about where to find The Master's Voice and where to find the individual prophecies in the description box below. Everything for this ministry is all also below. So you can go there and find out for yourself what God is saying. I always recommend it's better to read than to watch. I can't really get to everything because I'm trying to keep these videos moderately short, and I don't always manage to, but on the blog, you can read each prophetic word, and then you take your time to ruminate on it, which means to meditate on it, to chew it, to take time to take it to the Holy Spirit, or even take it to your wise counselors, whoever is overseeing in your life or whoever you bounce stuff off of. And pray as well and say, Lord, what are you saying to me in this situation? These words are harsh for a reason. America is deep in sin, and she's also deep in delusion, meaning that she's deep in sin but continuing to declare herself as righteous. She's deep in practicing abominations at the highest levels, things that God has destroyed other civilizations for. And yet she continues to present this image that she is a Christian country, deep in Christianity, full of Christians, when nothing could be further from the truth. Whenever you mention following God's ways sovereignly, straightly, and righteously, you'd be shocked to find in America that the people who rise up to condemn you, the people who rise to fight you, and the people who arise to accuse you the most are Christians. They rise up with these deceptions and fallacies like, oh, don't judge, and you don't know his struggle. And don't think that these excuses that we make for sin, we actually protect sin. We shelter it and say, oh, no, don't talk about sin. You don't know the struggle that this person has with this sin, so don't talk about this sin, and don't point out sin, and don't call it sin. And what people don't realize is that God is not asleep. God is not the Balaam. God is not an Asherah pole or a pine grove, as Israel used to go a-whoring after in the Bible. He is the God of eyes and ears. He is the God that I saw coming down in the prophecy on the Master's Voice that is called fire. The God that I saw coming down in thick cloud and darkness, that I just saw two eyes, in those clouds, watching people messing around on the earth. The Lord hears the things that the Christian community says. The Lord hears how quickly people rise up to defend sin by saying, don't identify sin because a person will feel bad. What you don't think about is that if a person is not made to feel bad for a moment, they have no reason to struggle against the sin and get out of it. And so people care more about the temporary feelings of one another in the church, and they forget about the long-term thing that we are all working towards, which is salvation, and the thing that we should all be protecting with everything in us, which is our eternal souls. If you are ready to mortgage your soul or mortgage the soul of another person simply because you want to appear PC, you want to appear woke, or you want to walk in this fake compassion whereby you don't think that you can speak to another person, or even at a larger scale, you don't feel that Christians are qualified to identify sin, when in fact so much of the New Testament teaches us to not only identify sin in our midst, but condemn it, root it out, even benching people who practice sin for a while so that they can feel remorse and know that sin is not God's way for those who claim God's name. Then what you're doing is you are trying to appear acceptable for a very short period of time, which is this life, forgetting that there is an infinite period of time that comes after this life called eternity, by which you shall be judged by God according to the words of your mouth, according to the affections of your heart, according to everything that you stood up for, supported, and gave your strength to. If we don't keep these things in mind, the sin series has come. The Lord has sent me reading out these very difficult prophecies so that if you're the kind of person who does that, or you know people who do that, this is a clarion call. This is a wake-up call for each of us to truly examine the roots and foundations of what we claim is the practice of Christianity in our lives. And if we find that we are a little off to the left or a little off to the right, it is time for us to begin to seek God in prayer so that he will bring us back to the median, which is where we are walking on the narrow path. The only people that God is going to choose to enter heaven in the final days are the people who are found on the narrow path. Today's prophecy is not an easy one. It is entitled, Wrath is on the Land. I received this word from the Lord on July the 5th, and it was basically an amalgam of things that he had been commenting on all through July 4th weekend. So people have been celebrating the 4th basically since last month, at least in my neighborhood. People have been happy. They've been having cookout after cookout. They've been setting off the fireworks. Everybody's been happy and laid back as we lead up to the day of America's freedom and independence and her assertion of who she is as a nation. But God had very different views on what people were celebrating. And one of the things he was saying to me as I was listening to people setting off fireworks and people playing games was that America doesn't have any idea how many laughs she is celebrating. Now, you know, when a baby celebrates first, it's the baby's first time walking or the baby's first word or the baby's first crawl, or basically firsts are the group of every time a baby does something for the first time, or even every time you've done something for the first time. Each one of us has our memories that form our first time we ever took an international flight, first time we went to school. Everybody has an album inside their heart of their first. But what the Lord was remarking on is how oblivious this nation is and her citizens are, in that he said they are in a season of last. So I had the impression of last holidays and last family rituals and things that are very beloved to us here in the United States, Thanksgiving and things like that, celebrating them for the last time, but unaware that we're celebrating that. And so the Lord spoke to me conversationally, and therefore this prophecy will just be shared conversationally as he said it. He said that I should tell America that his wrath is heavy on the land. that he hears that often people are saying, oh, the children of God are not appointed to wrath, and the children of God are not appointed to wrath. And he said to tell you to stop taking that scripture out of context. America has her own separate wrath. And as we go through this prophecy, you will understand why the greater wrath, which is in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians 5 and 9, or 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, the greater wrath where it says the children of God are not appointed to wrath is actually talking about the day of the Lord, which is a day that will affect every nation, every country, and everybody all around the world. That has nothing to do with the separate punishment that the Lord has judged America with for her separate sins that she has committed separately. It will really help our understanding to know that America and the world are not synonymous. It may shock some people to know that the world doesn't revolve around this country and that there are tons of other nations out there who also have their own relationship with God, nations that God will reward, nations that God will punish according to what they have done, and that America is just one of the register of nations. So when God calls America's name for her own punishment, it has nothing to do with the bigger end of days global event that is called the Day of the Lord. The United States will get her own punishment, and this is her judgment that I have been sent to read out in all these messages, and it has nothing to do with the Day of Wrath that everybody's always hiding behind. And so he said, many insist that there is no wrath for America, but he firmly says that there is. In fact, he says his wrath is laying on this nation like a heavy blanket from one end to the other, and that he will not remove it. Instead, he will repay America in full for the sins that she has committed, and he will not leave one out. The word the Lord used is requite. I've spoken about this word on this channel many times. Requite means to pay somebody back with exactitude, which means that if it's 44.6 megatons of sin, the payment is 44.6 megatons of wrath. Not a penny more or not a penny less will be repaid to the offender, who in this case is the USA. For the many abominations that the USA has committed in her entire history, God says that there will be repayment and that no one will escape the coming of this wrath except those that he sees are righteous. Now, I found this very interesting, and he went on to explain it, that the righteousness he is talking about is not the false righteousness of today, where people walk around with this false sense of entitlement. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. When you inspect their personal lives, when you inspect the things that they think, which are witnessed by the words of their mouths, their actions, what they prefer and what they choose when choices are put before them, you see that there is no child of God activity about them. Instead, their lives are filled with a manifest presence of Satan, yet they are claiming to be children of God. God says that he will test the hearts of the people in America, and he will decide who is righteous. And since there is no way to fake a true righteousness, only those who pass his test will be people that will be hidden and kept safe under his wings. So I had a vision as he was speaking, and the first image that I saw was people kneeling in sackcloth and crying out to the Lord. These people looked like they were people from the Middle Ages in terms of the hairstyles that they had and the sackcloth that was on them, and they were wearing piles and piles of it, and they were crying out to the Lord in a line in front of a very, very large and ornate gold altar. I saw that they were weeping and they were repenting for their own sins, and they were also interceding for others. And as I saw them, it was as if they were lifted into the clouds. But I realized that they weren't actually in the clouds, but that was their spiritual position, because these people were truly righteous. And so their prayers had elevated them to a new level, because the Bible says in James 5 and 16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As I was observing these people, the Lord said, only those who bow and worship before my altar and repent completely of their sins will be spared and protected from these judgments. But everyone else, every single one, young and old, will receive the fullness of Babylon's judgments along with her. And the scripture for this I will paraphrase it briefly. It says, after the glory of God had gone up from the cherubs, it moved to the threshold of the temple. And then the Lord called to one man wearing linen who carried a writer's inkhorn by his side and said to him, go through the city, all through the city, and put a mark on the foreheads of everyone who is sighing and crying over the abominations that are done in this land. And to the other men, these are six armed men carrying weapons, he said to them, go after this man who marks the righteous and kill. Have no pity and let your eye not spare. Utterly slay the old and the young men, the maidens and the little children and the women, but do not come near anyone who has this mark and start at my sanctuary. And so the men went out and they began to kill, starting with the elders who stood before the temple. The Lord has instructed me to bring this prophecy and this passage of scripture many times. This is Ezekiel chapter 9 and verses 3 to 6 or 7. Notice how no one was exempted from the sentence of death by reason of being too old or by reason of being a child or by reason of being a maiden or a woman or a youth, such as a 16 or 19-year-old who still has their whole life ahead of them. The only people who were spared were the people that God told this angelic man to mark on the forehead and say, this person is righteous according to godly righteousness. Therefore, mark them for protection so that they will not be struck. So the Lord continued and said that every single person who has not separated himself from Mystery Babylon's wickedness and abominable lifestyle, everyone who's practicing even a small measure of the kinds of sins, abominations, adulteries, and fornications that Mystery Babylon, being the United States of America, is famous for, will be destroyed and fall by sword, pestilence, which is very contagious and dangerous diseases, by war, by captivity, by invasion, by poor health, by being exposed to the elements, meaning either homelessness or being chased out into the forest when other more powerful people come and chase people out of their homes, by beasts of the field, he said, people will die, and by other untold forms of wickedness that he has not yet revealed. And he said the reason that wickedness will destroy America is because America is the home of wickedness, and so that is the fitting punishment for her. The Lord kept saying that if anyone clings to any of the sins that are practiced here. Now, I mentioned earlier in the video that it is a common practice now in the Christian community that you can't speak about sin. You can't rebuke sin. You can't even identify sin. And yet I ask you today, if you will not, or if we are not allowed to identify what is sin and what is unlawful conduct in God's eyes, then how can anyone have the understanding of how to walk in what pleases God? If you are not able to say emphatically and definitively, this is unlawful before the Lord, this is not acceptable in the community of those who name themselves by God's name, then how can those of the temple, meaning those of the church, as well as those outside, know what conduct is unacceptable to God in order to purge themselves from it, receive the salvation that comes from God, and enter into fellowship and oneship with Christ? God continued to talk about sin and said that when the day of judgment for America comes, the benchmark will be not what you thought you were doing right or wrong in the sight of God. The Lord will not ask anyone, what was your individual standard for what was sinful? Did you think that LGBTQ was sinful? Did you think that having abortions was sinful? Did you champion any abortions? Did you champion any of this lifestyle or that lifestyle? Were you really stuck up in vaping, taking of various narcotic drugs? Did you just allow your body to be a place for fornication? Were you out there sleeping with the spouses of others and you did not feel convicted because he told you his wife was not understanding or she told you she didn't feel loved? If any life is found to be identified with the sins that this country is known for, too many to list, though I have made over 100 videos listing them. The Lord says that that person who is found identifying with, clinging to, supporting, or committing any sin of Babylon will be destroyed along with Babylon herself in the day that he stands up to judge her. And so when the Lord said, stands up to judge her, I had a vision and I saw the Lord Jesus Christ in a normal courtroom. It was just a dark wood courtroom, the kind that we have here in the United States all the time. There were people in the background seated in both galleries behind the defendant and behind the prosecution. The Lord was wearing these blinding white robes. And as he stood up, he had only one sheet of paper. So he didn't have the stacks of papers that lawyers usually use when they go to court. He had one sheet of paper. And on that sheet of paper was written every sin that America had ever committed. As soon as the Lord stood up, before he could even open his mouth to plead his case before the throne or before the bench of the judge, whom I could not see, America, the defendant, fainted. She fainted instantly. She was sitting by herself and she had no lawyer, just as the Lord Jesus had no attending counsel. Each of them sat at their tables by themselves. But as soon as Jesus stood up, before he could open his mouth to begin his case against America, she fainted because she knew she was absolutely guilty. And she also knew, and even I felt it, that the punishment that the Lord was going to seek against her was greater and harsher than any nation has ever received in the histories of nations ever. This is greater than all the countries that have been wiped away by lava, all the countries that God allowed their enemies to come and take off their clothes and take them into captivity, stripped naked to work there for 100 years until the entire generation died. Every country that ever sank into the sea and has never been found again, America's punishment was going to be worse than any nation that has ever existed, ever. And so the Lord said, for the children you have killed and for the blood you drink and are still drinking to this day, for the cries of the souls that are in the dungeons of the damned, the people who are crying out to me night and day for justice that has still not come, I will judge you. I will judge you for fornication. I will judge you for immorality. The Lord said that the beds in America have become altars, and all day the bodies of the wanton and the fornicators are offering up sexually charged sacrifices to the Balaam. Now, if you don't know what the Balaam is just a biblical term for a various assortment of demons, demonic lords, evil spirits, and physical idols that people used to worship in the old days. And so most people don't know that when they're engaged in sexual sin, the energy that comes off you, not only the kinetic energy, the physical, natural energy, there are powerful spiritual energies that come off the human body when it is engaged in that act. It is for that reason that the Lord Jesus only wants marriage to be practiced between one man and one woman in the sanctity of the marital home, of the marital bed. But when you do these things, you create a lot of illegal energy, and this is what charges and feeds demonic spirits, demonic energies, demonic entities. And this is why, as I've revealed in many prophecies on the blog, as the Lord has shown me, so many spiritual powers will come to this earth in the final times. They have been given carte blanche by our behavior, by our appetites that are not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are so wanton and so lewd, especially here in the United States. This will be a place where there will be so many beings that your eyes will never wish to see. And this is a direct revelation of the Lord that I have said more times than I can count in the last 4 or 5 years. The Lord says, and I quote, your beds have become altars, and you offer up sacrifices day and night on them to demons and false god. You lack prudence, and you are depraved in your hearts. Hear my word. Americans do in bed what even the temple prostitutes of the ancient false religions refused to do. That is how fallen and how diseased they are in their hearts and minds. Therefore, I will strip this nation naked and I will carry them in ships into the captivity from which there will be no return. They are celebrating their last. They play before me like wild goats on the hills, and therefore I will answer their burning for sin with the burning of my wrath towards them in the flesh. As the Lord was speaking this, I saw a third vision, and it was just a confused, like when you play a video, but you play it slightly faster so that the pictures move fast, and I was glad for that because these were all naked people in a very dark room and one big bed, engaged in every different type of sexual immorality, male and female, every skin color under the sun that you can imagine. And so these pictures were playing rapidly in front of me. And around this bed, there were fires. You know the kind of fire that you put on a stick and you usually see it at a seance or at those rituals or something like that. There were fires burning all around this bed and outside the presence of the fire. So outside of the light, standing away from the light so I could not see them, there were various very tall and huge demonic shapes standing around this bed, watching these people do this. And I saw a lot of black women in these beds, and I'm not going to cover that up or lie about it. Many of the people that I saw, God showed me their bodies, and I saw their skin color. There were a lot of black women in these beds as part of the greater group that were using immoral sex to anger the Lord. And so I saw wings on some of the entities that were standing in the shadows. Wings are something that I constantly warn about on the Master's Voice because these are indicative of the presence of the fallen angels here. I've been telling people for a long time that God said that the penalty for abusing your flesh will not just be in the end times, oh, I caught an STD, or oh, I got pregnant. The Lord says that you are going to attract powerful spirits physically and spiritually, which means the ones that have bodies that can be seen and the ones that are spiritual that can't be seen, but that trouble you in your flesh and you feel it. He said that part of the punishment that people will have to deal with is that these entities will return exactly as it was in the days of Noah, and they will attach to you and you will not be able to get rid of them because that is the punishment for the immorality that you constantly choose to walk in. And so the Lord was bringing this to a close, and he said that there will be no difference in punishment for the one who keeps playing in sin, especially sexual sin, and the ones who don't care and embrace it as their lifestyle. There are a lot of people who embrace sexual immorality not only as a lifestyle but as their right. As someone who spends a lot of time mentoring and counseling people, I even see online especially that people are out there teaching things, fallacies and wicked error, saying things like, if God didn't want you to use your body to feel good, he wouldn't have given it to you. That type of logic is equal to saying, if God didn't want you to murder people, he wouldn't have given you hands. The hands that God has given us are not to work iniquity. And the body that God has given us is so that we will be able to represent his glory, male and female, to enjoy our physical universe, which is where he has put us. God didn't put us in a vacuum, in a bubble, or in a lake. He has placed us in a physical universe and given us many beautiful things here to enjoy. But people are out there teaching that because you have a body, you have a right to defile it. And yet the Lord says that this body is his temple where his precious spirit dwells, which means if you drive out the spirit of the Lord from the body, what other spirits do you think will move in to an empty house? And so these are the direct words of the Lord. The Father said that when Mystery Babylon is judged, this will happen. The nation will be drawn and quartered into many pieces. For students of history, they understand that when something is drawn and quartered, it's the death of that thing. If you draw and quarter a horse, or if you draw and quarter a man, it literally means that you tie it here and here and by the 2 feet, and then you take a sharp saw or a sword and you cut it into multiple pieces. And then you take the different parts and divide them with conquerors. So God said that America will be drawn and quartered. He said that she will be divided. He said the nation will be split right down the center. like a grapefruit. And then the pieces of it will be divided between very great powers that will come here to capture all of America's riches and take all of her people away to be servants and slaves to other masters. There's a whole series on that. You can watch the video on this channel called America in Chains. You can also watch the 3 or 4 part series that I did called Send for Their Flesh, where I explained in detail what the Lord said would happen. There's also another video on this channel called Flesh China and another one called Flesh Russia. If you look among the register of my videos, you can find every single video that speaks out this particular part of the prophetic word where God says, because Americans hate to wear clothes so much and they hate to be moral and holy people, the punishment for them, the punishment for everyone who practices this sort of life and does not repent will be that when Russia and China come here, the characteristic of captivity in America will be that people will be stripped naked. They will be bound and they will be taken into captivity to those two nations. And there I saw that people were made to work. What the Bible calls working in brick and mortar, I saw that people were made to labor without rest. Building. They built highways. They built bridges. They built buildings. So I just want to say to everyone who is laboring under this misconception that the judgment of America is equal to rapture timing, that America cannot be judged because no, God won't allow that. The rapture has to come and save American Christians. I just want to let you know that when the downfall of this nation came in the visions that God has shown me for at least 6 to 7 years, people were taken into captivity, and there was nothing that raptured anyone. People were captured as slaves and taken away if they were not used in bordellos and if they were not used in sexual brothels until they perished. I saw the women. I saw how their hearts broke because they were separated from their husbands and children. Women out there who are living sexually immoral lives, single women who just think it's my last time at college or it's my last time I'm going to travel the world and just try out the men in Japan and try out the men in Korea. I saw these women of every background and color. They were separated by age. They were separated by their identifying characteristics. Some of the captors were interested in people because they had gray eyes and green eyes and blue eyes. And some of the captors were interested in women who were thicker and heavyset, which you find usually in the Latin American and the black communities. They were divided by what interested these men. There were even women that were taken here and made to be sister wives, meaning that they had to sleep with the forces that came here. That type of woman is called a comfort woman. And the reason she's called a comfort woman is because when a soldier comes all the way from the Far East or all the way from the top of Europe and fights a hard battle and finally wins when everything is over and the land is subdued, that man needs comfort because his wife is all the way back in Kiev, all the way back in Shanghai, and he needs something to take the edge off, and it's going to be you if you are in sin. It's going to be you if you think that I take time out of my workday to sit here and make videos about nonsense. I saw that people were taken into captivity and they worked and worked until their hearts gave out. I saw that some of the women were not strong. They had absolutely no resilience in them whatsoever, and they died just the way a flower dies when you don't water it for 2 weeks. But other women were stronger and they had longevity. I saw that people were given drugs to make them extremely strong and to give them stamina, and people worked basically until their hearts gave out. I saw children questing, asking for their parents, crying, and a voice came from heaven. I saw a little blonde girl in captivity far off in those cities that they called ghost cities in China. You know, the cities that they have built, the cities that they have in China now that are empty, and the Wall Street Journal and all the so intelligent people in Washington, D.C. and New York mock them and say, why would China build all these cities and then there's no people living in them? Those cities are waiting for occupants. I won't go so far as to say who those occupants will be. I saw a little blonde girl, and she was asking where her parents was, and she was asking and saying that she wanted to go home, and a voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is home now. There is no other home for you anymore." And so the same judgment that God judged Israel in the Bible for, because they were whores, because they were sexually immoral, because they raised up idols to provoke God to anger, because they raised up icons and gave worship and human sacrifices and murder and basically forsook the Lord their God. The exact judgment that God gave Israel so long ago, when you study these prophecies, is the exact type of judgment that the Lord has pronounced on America. And so this is the word that I have been given over the 4th of July weekend. Wrath is on the land. My name is Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. I wrote quite a bit of teaching underneath this prophecy, so it is worthwhile for you to visit the blog and see it for yourself. I also put quite a few links in the prophecy, so if you look in the description box, you'll see this prophecy, and when you go there, you'll see quite a few others. I also mentioned quite a few videos that you can check out if you are interested to know more about what this channel is about. This is an end times prophecy channel, meaning that I am not handling the general matters that we talk about in church or things that we don't even know about. The commission the Lord has given me is to talk about things that we traditionally avoid in Christianity, is to reveal and expose things that we don't even know about. So I would appreciate it if you are a new subscriber. I have a lot going on. I am a very busy person, and it is therefore paramount on my heart between running the blog and the multiple platforms that the Lord has given me to get this information out as expeditiously as I can. Please go to the blog and read the prophecies for yourself, because a lot of your questions are answered in them. I'm not able to get to every comment. If I'm not able to respond to your comment, please take the initiative to go to the blog, use the search box, and do a little homework for yourself. We're not in the age where a person can afford to spoon feed you the answers that you're looking for simply because you think you're entitled to them. So please take the initiative for yourself and go and research, and also understand that this is not a prophecy playlist that I'm running here. I don't prophesy according to messages that I see in the comments section, okay? God is the one who tells me what to say, and then I say it. So if that is not enough, if what is on this channel does not give the average viewer or subscriber enough to think about, then I really don't know what else I can add. To everyone else, those of you who support this channel, those of you who send me financial blessings, I thank God for you so much. You are a blessing. I pray for you all, whether you sow into this ministry or not, and it is always visible in the blog posts. I am praying for the growth of the faith of the people who watch these videos. You will not be able to bear or tolerate the difficulties of the times ahead. Even before we get to these days, there are other difficulties that will come that I've covered. Financial crash in the United States, the fact that the currency will lose almost 60% of its value. I've covered natural disasters. I've covered difficulties in the economic space. I've covered how America will lose her international influence. People will simply not care about what this nation has to say anymore. They will ignore her at the conferences. Nobody will wait for America to arrive before they start the meeting. They'll go on without you. And when your diplomats are mad, they won't care. I've covered so many of these things. And if you are patient and if you are interested in more than a quick prophecy bite, if you really want to strengthen your faith and deepen your relationship with the Lord, then this is the place for you, and you are very welcome to all the resources that are here. I pray for everyone all the time that we will become stronger in Christ Jesus, and until I see you again, I am Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. May the Lord Jesus bless you, and until next time, goodbye.